Ye shall have a song as in the night. The Moody Chorale of Moody Bible Institute has as their opening number on a record which I possess this. It's entitled Prayer Before Singing. But I even forgot the title, really, because I told Mary Alice, I said, play for us. A song is a beautiful thing. Won't you listen as the Moody Chorale sings this, and I hope you get the words. Come to love and adore him. This is the reason I sing. And now Fred Waring's group, another group altogether, sings a very beautiful thing, and it's entitled Say It With Music. Now we're going to discuss this morning this idea of expression through music. And I don't know of a more beautiful way to express yourself than through music. You say, well, Sarah, now I disagree. My expression in music is not particularly beautiful. We'll get around to that. The Fred Waring's group sings this, and listen to it, will you? Say it with music.
Thank you.
And you'll never go wrong if you say it with a beautiful song. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song. Now today we're going to discuss together music for our children. And perhaps many of you have looked forward to today's meeting because of your enjoyment of music. I suppose if I asked each of you as an individual if you liked music, say, oh yes, I love it, and I've been looking forward today to hear music. Well, now let's think just a minute though. What is music to you? Is it something that you enjoy because someone else is performing and you listen to it as a performance? I think to begin our discussion together, it might be well then to begin with a question. What is music? Is it an art? Is it a science? Does music appeal to the emotions only? Does it appeal to the intellect? What is music? Well, everyone knows what music is, and yet, if I ask you right now to give me a definition, I wonder what you would say. Well, now, we're going to get technical just for a minute, but don't be worried. We're not going to go into it very deeply. I couldn't. There's a stopping place for me. I love to try to get to some of the depths of this because it's thrilling, and it leads us right back to God and His wonderful laws on which it is based. We're not going to get real technical, but let me tell you this. Science says this, that music consists of two elements, movement and sound. But wait a minute. They are organized into expressive patterns. Movement and sound, but organized into expressive patterns. From the simplest folk song to the greatest symphony, all music seeks to express thought and feeling. But all music is not beautiful. Now I'm contradicting myself. I remember. I said last year when I was here that if music is correctly written according to God's laws and has not departed, it's beautiful. Well, it is beautiful in a sense, but not all music is beautiful to listen to if the thing that the composer wishes to express is anger or turmoil or the ugliness of a situation. He uses music to portray that in a way, and it is no longer beautiful to listen to, but it's interesting, and it does express feeling and thought. The scientists will also define music as a system of vibrations. Now, please listen to this. This is, to me, is just the, well, it's the core of the whole thing. He will refer to it, the scientists will, as a system of vibrations carried to the brain through the medium of the eardrums. Now, we were taught in school that all sound has pitch. I asked them to cooperate with me this morning. I don't know what pitch that is, you. Is that music? What is commonly called noise is produced by vibrations. But it's irregular vibrations. Now, music is produced by vibrations, but by regular vibrations. Now, for instance, if we use the piano, and using the strings on the piano as an illustration, we would see this, that the shorter the string, the greater the vibrations, and the higher the pitch. You've noticed that, haven't you? Of course. And you notice that on a violin, when a person plays, that in order to shorten the string, he uses his finger position, you see? And the higher up on that string, you notice it, that he goes and draws his bow across it, the higher the pitch. The longer the string, the fewer vibrations, and the lower the pitch. Now, what about those horns? We have our music teacher with us, Miss Miller. What about those horns we sometimes see in the band or the orchestra where they twist it around and around and around, and when you blow, out comes this deep, low pitch. Long volume there of air, you see, or slow vibrations. But all of this has to do, it seems to me, with the fact that we have already said, and I think Mary Alice has already said, that all of this of life goes right back to the giver of life, God. And when you get into this study of vibrations and the beautiful pitches and tones that result from vibrations, so governed, you also get into a very close relation to all of the other arts, which again just says to me, God gave it. You may talk... Shirley said something about art, and I think she referred to painting. You may be talking about painting and the beautiful colors. Did you know that vibrations are involved in that? And that a certain number of vibrations bring the red? Now, this wasn't in my discussion this morning. I better leave it out. I guess it will go too far. But it's all tied so closely together, and it's such a wonderful study, and particularly when you bring it back to the fact that all of this seems to say there is one. Well, it does say there is one back of it, and we know that one to be God, our Creator, and our Savior. Music, then, is an art, and it claims to be the purest. Now, let's not forget this, because this will carry throughout our study today. Music claims to be the purest, the noblest, and the most universal of all the arts. It is an art. It is a science. It has to do with the knowledge of systematically. This didn't happen. Music does not just happen. It has to do with the knowledge of systematically combining tones into melodic, rhythmic, and harmonic order, which appeals both to the mind, the intellect, and to the emotion. Now, I want to briefly illustrate to you, and they've tried to tell me, last time I just forgot all about the taping, you know, and I walked all around here and talked, and they couldn't pick up the voice, and they're trying to say, stay right here in front this morning. And I'm going to try to do that, but I do want to go to the piano to illustrate certain things. Now, for instance, we have said that we take some of these tones or pitches, and then they are organized into a pattern, a melodic pattern, a rhythmic pattern, a harmonic pattern. We haven't said anything up to now, but I know that you all know the simple scale. Perhaps if you have not played it on an instrument, you have sung it. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Do you know that one of our greatest composers took the simple scale in the key of D and brought out of those tones that we find there, those series of pitches, a very beautiful song, which you all recognize? I'm going to the piano now, and I'm going to play for you just the scale, and then I'm going to show you how he took it and broke it up, put it into a little rhythmic pattern, added harmony to it, and gave to us one of our beautiful hymns. Changed it. He put it into a little rhythmic pattern. He added the harmony to it, and then the full harmony, if you wish, and then we have a beautiful composition. Now, will you go to the piano too, Marilyn, please? We're going to play for you a great classic. We haven't played together until just now, and I showed her the music a minute ago. Again, I'm going to take just some little series of pitches, and then we're going to arrange it into a rhythmic pattern and a harmonic pattern, as I have told you again. And it's going to be the simple little folk tune, we might call it, Home on the Range. Listen. Thank you. you imagine how a beginning piano student feels? I've seen this, so I know. And they take that simple little thing. I say, now let's learn this. And they take it home, and they learn their part that was done, that played so beautifully. And then when they come back, they haven't heard now the part that I play, which is the harmony. They come back, and they have learned it, and they play it, and they like it. And I say, all right, now let's play it together. And for the first time, they hear the harmony, and you should see the brightness that comes on their faces. Oh, that's beautiful, you see? Now, we've talked about music as being an art. We've talked about it as being a science. I've simply answered the question by saying so, and I hope you've accepted it. We're living in a wonderful age of great scientific development. My dear women, did you realize how much has been developed in this science of music? What great loss would be ours if we had only melody? What great loss would be ours if we had only the rhythm as they had originally, and then the melody? But it has developed into wonderful harmonic patterns, you see, and it's given us the full beauty. Oh, may God have the glory for that. Now, as I said, we've answered the question, or we've tried to, what is music? Is it an art? Is it a science? Does it appeal to the emotions only? Does it appeal to the intellect? I'm going to the piano again. I'm going to play for you some things, and I want to know your reaction to them. The first I play will be something written by one of our greatest composers, Haydn. I'm just going to give you a little excerpt. But from hearing, and I want to know if you would imagine that he is a man who wrote joyful music, happiness was seemed to be his lot, or if it was the opposite from what I play. And then I'm going to play a few other things. I think most of those things that I play will have definite associations for you. Will you answer for yourself what the emotional reaction to it is? It may be a love for your country. It may be a love for your fellow man. It may be that love that we experience between the man, woman, young boy, girl. Think about it as I play.
Thank you.
think that I can play all of those. Girl of my dreams, I love you. Let me call you sweetheart. I'm in love with you. I like to think I can play all of those. And I can play my Jesus, I love thee, equally well. And with just as great emotion, in fact, with greater. I think when we come to that place where we fit all of music within our lives and do it all, sing it all, play it all, as unto Christ and let his be the glory, then I believe we're entering into that freedom which is ours. Then I believe it is that we enter into that abundant life which he alone can give. Now, perhaps your thoughts have been running like this, though, and I see our time is just flying. Well, I'm not so much interested in getting into the meaning of music. I know there's music that's beautiful to hear, and I know there's music that's suitable for the Christian's ears. I also know that some music is most unpleasant. Now, have you thought of this? Has this been the way your thoughts have run? And sometimes my teenager and my preteener and I do not agree on music. I think all of this is very good, and I like to hear some beautiful music, Mrs. Pilcher. But I would like a quick solution to the problem which seems to arise out of a situation in my own home when I know that certain music is beautiful and should be listened to, and my child comes in with other music, and I think it's most unpleasant. And I think it has to do with that which should not be for the Christian's ears. You'd like a quick solution, wouldn't you, to this problem, if there is such a one? Or may I say to you that there is no quick solution? Now, I've let myself out, haven't I? No, because there is no quick solution to any of the problems which confront us as Christians. In our Christian walk, we would like to be free, would we not, from these warring natures within us? I'd love to be freed from this, continually yielding to sin, continually withholding something from Christ. I'd love to be free from that and enter into the life where I can enjoy him to the fullest. You see, all these things pushed aside. But that is not true. I'd like to say, dear Lord, I surrender my life to you, and from then on I'm free to go and to please him in all that I do, but it isn't that way. I'd like it to be, but it isn't. It takes a moment by moment, yielding and surrendering, confessing and cleansing. And even as I say, I'd like it to be the other way, I wonder if I would, because you see, in this moment by moment dependence on him, I'm growing to be more like him. I'm closely associated with him because I'm entirely dependent on him. I'm trying to say this. There's no quick solution to any problem that we face, but there is a solution. But it comes moment by moment, a slow, sure growth. We have it in our Christian life, and we have it in all that we face. Is your interest now in music for your children contained in your concern for your child's Christian growth? We're talking today about growth. And it comes slowly. It cannot be forced. Is your interest in the music for your children based on and contained within that keen interest for your child's Christian growth? Do you consider music as recreation? Do you consider it a challenge to the mental processes of your child? Do you consider it as a pastime? Now, I don't want to step on your toes, but how many of you have thought about music as being purely pastime? How many of you have considered it recreation only? When you listen this morning, do you listen just to enjoy it? Or do you cooperate? Do you work a little bit? Are you into the music yourself? Are you taking a part in? Are you thinking? Anything as great as music which has been given to us cannot be taken so casually as to put it aside and let it be recreation only. I do not think it can be a pastime under God. I really don't. It's too great. We ought to give to it something of ourselves, eager to learn more about it. You see, think it through. I hear so many people say, for instance, I go to the concert down to the downtown, and I hear some of the men that I, my husband, in fact, said, well, I didn't see much in that music. And he didn't see much in it. And I said, oh, well, I really did enjoy it. And he said, I'm sorry, but I just didn't see very much in it. And someone said to me, Sarah, how could you enjoy that? And I've thought about it because I love these people, and I wonder why they don't. You know why they don't? Because they don't hear these little patterns of music that are involved in the music composition as a whole. They don't hear the little theme as it starts out and then as it's repeated over and over and over in a different way and treated a little differently. Do you want that? Well, maybe it's too late, you say, for you to gain that kind of education in music. But, my dear, it opens up life to you such as you have never known before. Music becomes something new. Oh, certainly, we want the beautiful melody. But it isn't a beautiful melody only. We've shown how it's rhythmic. And it's harmonic, you see. And when you learn more and more about it, the fuller the life is in this musical world. Now, you say, well, I didn't have the advantage of that as a child. All right. You didn't have the advantage of that. But you have a child. You have children. Wouldn't you like to give them this beautiful world of music? Is music then a valuable contributing factor in the mental, the physical, the social, and the spiritual growth of your child? Is it to be considered seriously, or can it be considered only as a pastime? Well, we'll quickly think of it now. And we're going to think of music as an art. And we're going to think of it as its value in education. And I hope that after we have discussed it together, can't really discuss it because I'm not giving you a chance to answer back on anything, but as we think along together, I hope that continually we will think of it as our responsibility now to our children to give to them maybe something that you have not had. By the way, it's not too late for you, though. Something you have not had up to this time. But now it is given to you, that responsibility to give it to your child, if you see that it is necessary. Music is the purest, we have said, and the most noble of all the arts. And these are reasons now why it is peculiarly fitted as the first art to be given to your child. It's the only one that it's the only art that a young child can apprehend. Had you thought of that? Every normal human infant sings and is susceptible to song long before he can talk or walk. Before he's sensitive to color vibrations or any other sensory impressions, he can hear the voice of singing and he can respond to it. And he can coo himself, the pretty little musical sound that you get from babies. Thus, at an age when children can neither draw, nor mold, nor read, nor write, they can enter this beautiful kingdom of beauty through music. And secondly, and quickly, music possesses a great educational value in its socializing tendencies. Had you ever thought of what it does to children as they grow a little older, and they get together and they sing together? Oh, you know, there are many of us that say, I wish I could just lose some of my inhibitions and get out and express myself, but I can't. Oh, I'm withdrawing. Listen, children can do that when they sing together with others. They forget themselves. They're thinking of being with one another, and they're joining in singing with one another. It's a wonderful thing for the socializing tendency that is involved. And then, it involves concentration and coordination and all the rest. And then thirdly, music has educational preeminence. Because it is the purest of the arts. Now, you may not agree with me on this, and as Mary Alice and I talked, we weren't quite sure. And I wasn't either when I first read it, but I do agree now. It is the only one which cannot corrupt the mind. Oh, you say, Sarah, you're way off. Music can't corrupt the mind. All right, think of the little child who hears music. Nothing else is associated with it now, it's just music. It doesn't corrupt the mind. Music cannot corrupt the mind until it is combined with something else. Language, words, acting, a dance that is not glorifying to God, expression of the body that is not good. Any of that which is combined with music, yes. Or when you hear music, you may associate some TV program you've seen, which is not good, or some picture somewhere. But that's the association of this, a mental picture with the music. Music as itself, in itself, does not corrupt the mind. The ethically undesirable element is not the music, but it's that concrete medium to which it happens to be united. And by the way, in this thing of jazz, let us remember that it's not the music there, even though the melody may not be particularly good, but it's not the music there so much as it is the vulgar words. Now, while cheap and noisome music may pervert a child's musical taste, it cannot undermine the morals. And if you don't agree, that's all right. Just think about it a while. I'm not asking you to agree, but I have asked God to lead, and I'm sure that he will in your own reasoning of this. Now then, let's quickly go for the early musical training, and we'll have our records ready. It is very necessary, it seems to me, that we have an early training then of music in the child's life. And we have neglected this. It has been neglected in our homes, hasn't it? How important have you considered it to be for your babies and for your little children to hear music? It's been neglected in our homes. It's been neglected in our schools. Because in musical education, as a rule, in the schools, it's still considered as an extra. Now listen, though it were for the talented few instead of the rightful heritage of the many. Children, if children are to grow up with any great fondness of music, it is our home that must change, and also the educators in the school. Then when should a child's musical training begin? Well, it should begin in the cradle. Yes, it should. I have said that I don't like to refer to personal incidents, and I don't like to do it, and I don't often do it. But may I just say this, that I know from experience in my own home that the child in the cradle is very susceptible to music and loves it. And when one of my children was still in that little long knitted gown, you know, that they wore, sitting up a high chair, we didn't have TV in those days, but we did have radio. And, of course, we had those commercials then, as we have now, over and over and over. Now, one of the commercials was this. Wonderful Ivory Snow. Remember? Huh? All right, so one day I noticed that this child of mine was paying particular attention to that. And so she was singing along with it. She had never talked now. She couldn't talk yet. She was just crawling around. And I thought, oh, how amazing. I was thrilled to death. I have a special child. I didn't at all. She was just like every other child. But then I've got to playing with it, and when the radio wasn't on, I would say, Wonderful Ivory, and I'd stop. And she'd say, Snow. And though I'd change keys, and I'd say, Wonderful Ivory, she'd say, Snow. And I thought, listen to the ear the child has. Isn't that glorious? I have a special talented girl. No, not that, as I've read. It's each child has that wonderful. Now, maybe God has given her a gift. I pray that is true. But each child has that susceptibility to music, loves it. So in the cradle, we can begin. Now, I think with early children, there is nothing that they like more than Mother Goose rhymes. Do you think so? Now, I have a record that is quite old, and if it's scratchy, please bear with it. But I want to give to you this example of the singing of Mother Goose rhymes. Now, here's the child playing in the playpen or in the crib or just lying around playing with blocks, and I have this playing on the record, recorder. And I want you to hear it. I've chosen it not only because of Mother Goose rhymes, but because I think the musical setting is good music. Let's put it that way. Listen.
Mother Goose, when she wanted to wander, rode through the air on a very fine gander. Mother Goose had a house built in the wood, an owl at the door as a watchman stood. Mother Goose had a house built in the wood, an owl at the door as a watchman stood. Mother Goose is having a party, and she wants you to meet all her friends. Here's the farmer in the dell, the farmer in the dell. Hi-oh, the derry-o, the farmer in the dell. Now you sing it with me. The farmer takes a wife, the farmer takes a wife. Hi-oh, the derry-o, the farmer takes a wife. Here comes Mary with her little...
Oh, that's all right. Well, Mary had a little lamb. Now, can't you see how, can't you imagine how the child might react to that? No other children around playing, and her mother's busy in the kitchen, and she's playing her floss, but she has this, you see? Listening to it. That's 17 years old, by the way, that record. Now then, I have another one. I think there's nothing that we as Christian women want more. Now, I say this knowing that if my child, if you saw her eating over in the lunchroom today, she might not exhibit good manners. But I think there's none of us who does not desire keenly that our child be cultured, that she have this knowledge of music and other arts, and that she have good manners, because to have good manners really means to take into consideration others, to be thoughtful of them, not of yourself. And so in teaching our children manners, can you imagine a better way to do it than through music? Listen to this.
How do you do? How do you do? I offer my hand to you. Use good manners, everyone, because good manners can be fun. Now you sing it with me. How do you do? How do you do? I offer my hand to you. When someone wakes us up in the morning, we don't whine and complain, do we? We get up, we get up, we get up when we are called, and we have to be called only once. When we get up, they can count on us to wash ourselves without a fuss. We dress ourselves, it's easy to do, and before you know it, we're through. And then, of course, we brush our teeth, the row on top and the row beneath. We comb our hair, it's fun to do, and before you know it, we're through. Another thing, we don't leave our clothes and towels for other people to pick up, do we? Oh, we never throw our towels on the floor, and we never leave our clothes piled behind the door. Causing work for others is completely wrong, so we put our towels and clothes where they belong. When we are at the table, there is fun for everyone. We talk about the pleasant things that we have seen and done. And we don't try to talk when we are chewing, cause it's rude. And we don't try to drink when our mouth is full of food. It's fun to use good manners and to eat the things we should. And often we will find that things that we should eat are good. Good manners and to eat the things we should, and often we will find the things that we should eat are good. When we're at the table, we're good listeners, for other people like to talk, there's plenty we can learn. So we're polite and wait to talk until it's our turn. We never interrupt, we never shout and strain our throat. And we never butt in like a silly, silly goat. When we want something, we say please. And when someone does something for us, we say thank you. Oh, we say please and thank you. It's fun to say these pleasant words to you. Although we may be as busy as these, it's such an easy thing to say, please. It's fun to tell you, thank you. For all the thoughtful things we know you do. And it's nice to have you see, we're as thankful as can be. That's why we say, please, and thank you.
I think you'd like the whole record. I've just played it over and over, haven't put it away for maybe 10 years. I should keep it out. I can understand. Now we're saying this, that singing is so important.
And the songs that you sing to children are so important. They have a wonderful memory, very indelible little mind, and they remember those things that they heard from the cradle. Oh, do you see our great responsibility? Not in a negative way, not withholding this from the child because it isn't good, but giving this to the child because it is beautiful. And so the singing of simple songs is the very beginning and should begin right in the cradle. And as the child goes to school, then she will join with others in this singing. And quickly, let's hear Lavender Blue, a little folk song. You'll see the joy and happiness in it. You see here, they've come together now. The child is out of the cradle. She's gotten out with other children. She's even in school. And still she's pursuing the little singing of songs with her friends. And the happiness that it, you can just hear it in those little voices there. They aren't supposed to be great from a singing standpoint, but just beautiful as child's voices are. And the happiness that just exudes through the tone. Now, Mary Alice. Yes. We have said that it's so important to have these songs, to be beautiful songs and good songs, because they do remember them. And I think that perhaps the songs that to which we refer and the songs which should be used most are folk songs. And Mary Alice is going to play for you, probably, first of all, this same Lavender Blue, or maybe another one, I'm not sure, by Norman Luboff Choir, but she is also going to share with you, if you will, this idea that you do remember the folk songs. They do live on and on. And they have a very definite bearing on the child's life. Well, right on.
I was so thrilled to hear her little Brownie Scout record using Lavender Blue, because I've learned it from the adult level of the folk song. We enjoy Luboff Choir at home, and we've collected songs of British Isles, among others. And the interesting thing about this that I'd like to share with you is that we got this record just a few weeks before we went camping last year. And it consists mainly of folk songs of the British Isles, lullabies, and quite a variety. We camped up in Canada next to a young couple with five children who had migrated from England. And one morning as we were eating breakfast, Donnie was electrified. He said, "Mother, listen to that." This young father was singing while he did the dishes, one of the songs that had been on our Luboff record, Songs of the British Isles, and sang several of them. And Don and Danny were both entranced that they would know what this man from England knew. And it was such a terrific illustration to me that folk songs contain the history of all peoples. And as your children associate from the time they're tiny, up through Brownies, on through their adults, they are learning about other people, as well as having these associations with rich music that contain a heritage of folk, because folk sing folk songs and expresses all that folk are. We went over and talked with this man and found that he had grown up singing these songs, knew them all by heart. It was such a thrill to hear him. I'd like to play just a little bit of Luboff's treatment of this same little folk song that the Brownie sang, and see if you don't feel that the association, had you known this as a child, would make it so much richer to you as an adult. Some of these ballads express the quaintness of love. They have love songs, and some of them, if they're well chosen, can bring to your child such a richness in poetry and a beauty of poetry in even the love ballads.
Stay here just a minute.
I have taken down this quotation that I was talking to you about by Phillips Brooks. Let me read it to you. In the reminiscences of days gone by, there is nothing that so haunts the spirit as the songs to which we were accustomed as children. And listen, another. Whatever has at any time appealed to the best emotions and moved the hearts of a people must have for their children and their children's children political, historical, and cultural value. This is especially true of folk tales and folk songs. Now, I think we're saying this, actually, may I ask, that if we want now, if we believe that it is very important that we give to our children from the cradle on beautiful singing, then how are we to go about it? Well, we have today a wealth of records. So we may go out and we choose. We are certainly safe, I think, in choosing folk songs, beautifully treated, as she has given it by Norman Luboff Choir or others. So that's one way. Expose your children to these beautiful songs. As she said, they meet the needs of various expressions of thought, in love and so forth. Folk tunes establish the most enduring ties between the generations of men. And now, we must quickly go. I wish that clock hadn't gone around so fast. But the second, let me give you this. We begin in the cradle with these folk songs. Then, next is the choice of a musical instrument, and I must not leave this out. As the child has been exposed to this singing all along the way, and when she gets to school or he gets to school, he continues his singing, and this great value we've already given to you. Now the time has come, when he's about 7 years old, to think of a musical instrument. Why? Because through the playing of an instrument, now he gets into a fuller realization of what the music contains. You see? And I wonder, the first thing you think of, perhaps, is this. Well, I have a piano now, so I'll have the child take piano lessons. Besides, there's so many piano teachers, you see? Oh, just lots of piano teachers. So I had the child take piano, not giving it much more thought than that. Is that wise? If I chose another instrument, perhaps a trumpet, clarinet, or flute, what advantage would that have? Well, let's see. If I did, the child would only have to be reading one note at a time, for one thing, at first. And then he would be playing with others, so you still have this great value of the socializing tendency. Not only that, but you'd have cooperation. Because he's playing this instrument, he cannot play it alone, necessarily, because the part written is not particularly beautiful, but just his instrument. He has to combine it with the parts of all the instruments, and when he does, this glorious music comes out. I think it's glorious. And so, that is to be considered. Maybe the piano isn't the thing for the child. Maybe it's some other instrument. Choose it carefully. Choose it with this in mind. But give him the opportunity to pursue the training on some musical instrument. And then third, cultivate the art of intelligent listening. Now we're coming back again. Are you willing to give, you as parents, are you willing to give your time and effort to listening intelligently to music? Now you say, Sarah, I must confess that the music that some people call great, written by the masters, the great composers, I do not enjoy. I guess I just don't understand it. And then you toss it aside as much as to say, if I don't understand, it's all right. Who would expect me to understand it, so I'm not guilty? I'm sorry. But I think you are not living up to what God intended, really, if you don't try to understand it. And it doesn't take much to understand. And may I just throw it in here, that as a group, small groups of women, why don't you get together and learn about music, learn how to listen to it? Because if you want this for your child, you must want it for yourself. Now, there are not many children who are talented to the place where they'll be great performers on an instrument. That's true. But don't worry about that. That is not what music is. That's not the fullness of music. To be a person who can listen intelligently to music, who can respond to it, is a greater accomplishment, honestly, I believe this, than the person who plays an instrument without particular gift for it, you see, or who sings without musical taste. We can create within our children a love for music and an intelligent understanding of it. Do you want it for yourself? You must have it before you can offer it to them. Give them songs in the cradle. That'll continue throughout their life. Give them the opportunity to pursue a musical instrument, not necessarily the piano. May I, before I let you go, tell you this? The reason I say that, do you know how hard it is to play a piano? You're not reading just one... I say that, and I've tried to play. You're not reading just one note, you see. You're reading four, and they're going in contrary ways. And the first thing you know, you're reading a lot more than four, and they're all going all kinds of ways. It's difficult. Not only that, but it takes a lot of coordination. Not only that, but it takes practice, practice, practice. Why? Muscles have to be developed. They have to be exercised. Not many children want to do that. How many children have started the piano and stopped? Oh, have you been guilty of having your child take piano when the child wasn't ready for piano? And I'm a piano teacher, and I love to teach, and there are many children who do take piano and should. But let's don't automatically choose the piano. Let's think seriously what should be the instrument. And then let's get around to intelligent listening of music. There's so much more. You know, I don't have the privilege that Shirley has, because she says to you, I've heard it. Well, I didn't finish this lesson today. I have taken another day. I can't say that. This is it, and it has to end today. And I am sorry that it has to, and now I'm just trying to think of how we can bring this quickly to a close, because the time is gone.
Your experience with your teenagers there.
You think, really, we should. All right, now. I've had these records when they're children. I have given them, I think, in the Christian home, I've given them songs, the choruses, the B-I-B-L-E, Jesus Loves Me, Fishers of Men, all of that. And I think that I'm giving them all along the way what they should have in music. Take one of those 45s, will you? Get it ready, if you will. And then, one day, my child comes in and says, Mama, I've just bought a record. Won't you hear a new record I bought? And she puts this on for me. And now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to give you the wrong impression of my children. I love them. I pray that I have an understanding of them. But can you imagine now? Can you imagine now how I feel when this wears forth? And I won't give you but just a tiny little bit of it. You couldn't stand it. And now we're coming to a close, don't worry.
With a new love that came to play, are you sad?
Now, I say, oh, to myself, what have I done? How does it, and I say, Judy, darling, do you really like it? Sure, don't you? No, I'm sorry, I don't. Now, but let's think about it a minute. The child is genuinely sorry that I don't. Yes, she is. She wants her mother to like what she likes. She feels guilty now that she has something that I don't like. And so the day comes, this is an antique one real quickly. Here it is.
So the day comes, she says, Mama, I have a record now, I believe it you'll like.
And let's play just a snatch of this one. You see why? Now, that's not great music. I still have a standard higher than this. I have it. But she thinks this is pretty melody. It doesn't have that, well, awful noise and the words to it. Now, I think my mama liked it. And I said, well, yes. Suppose I said, no, I don't like that either. Oh, I destroyed my influence with the child. I say, yes, Judy, that is prettier. That's much better than the other one, or Sarah, whichever one happens to be. You see? Now, but I must tell you this. Where have I missed it? There's been a gap somewhere. Yes, there has. There's been a gap somewhere. Where has it been? Well, there's been a gap in the home. There's also been that gap in musical training in the school. Because when she was a child, yes, but there was a place along the way where we didn't offer the music that met her need. She had not been listening to good music, really. She had not developed an intelligent listening to music. She had heard her mother play at the piano, but she had played hymns, and she played them in a way that they weren't exactly written, so she couldn't play that way. She got discouraged. Yes?
That's true. And so there had been nothing given to the child in a certain period to fill this gap. And the day comes when everybody's buying records. This is music, you see. All right, she wants it, and she goes gets it. So now my duty as a parent begins all over again. Oh, God, where have I failed? Help me in my wisdom. And so it'll go on, and pretty soon the records begin to take a back place. They don't play them anymore. And I hear her say to her friends, the American team, I hear them say to her friends, I want you to hear my favorite record. And so again we come back, what? To folk songs, beautifully treated. Listen. It's still Home on the Range from the little simple melody we began, but it's treated by Mantovani and his orchestra, the strings that sing, a beautiful arrangement. She likes good music. How did it happen? A mother prayed. Now I get all full. And the father, without knowing the mother prayed, brings home records that he likes. You see, I didn't have the money to purchase records, frankly. You know how all your money goes to groceries. But the man found the money, and he brings home records. All that. How grateful I am. And he says, oh, I brought a new Mantovani today. And the daughter plays it and loves it. I say, what's happened to the records that you used to play? Well, we don't like those so well anymore. What is it? God answered prayer. A mother cared. A mother had a standard. And now the child will come to that standard and far above it. Now, women, I wish we could just stay together because I love you and I love to be with you. But we've talked, and all of this is leading to that. I keep thinking to myself, it does not yet appear what we shall be, you see? Because in our growth in the Christian life, there comes that day when we shall be full, wonderful, like Him. And it is true that that is what we aspire to in all things, music and all the rest. All of creation cries out to God as the Creator. And the expression of all creation is really in sound, in music. And I think the way we best express ourselves to Him is through beautiful music, realizing that He gave it, and we return our praise to Him by means of this wonderful gift. Can you imagine how the first man must have felt, Adam, when he looked around at all the beauty which had been given to him, and also he had been given the privilege of being Lord over this, but not being satisfied with that which he saw around him, even with all of its beauty now, he turned back to God, the Creator, and he tried to speak, but he could not. We're imagining a little bit. He stammered and he failed. But the true expression was his bursting into song, thanking God for all he had given, for all that he had created, and recognizing him as that great Creator. Man turned from him, and now we have turned back to him through the blood of the Lord Jesus, and can sing again, all creatures of the heavenly King, lift up your voices and sing, Alleluia.